There was a young boy that heard the preacher say one day in a sermon, "From dust thou comest, and dust thou shalt return." He got home and he got to thinking about things, and he got worried and didn't know. So he went to his mama and he said, "Mama, is it true what the preacher said, that we came from dust and when we die we're going back to dust?" And she said, "Yes, son, that's in the Bible." He said, "I got a bunch of people under my bed and I don't know if they're going or coming." So maybe you got that straightened out. Let me get my cheaters on. You know, wherever you go, you see a lot of people walking. And if you don't go and see them walking, when you turn the TV set on, you see a lot of people walking. Multitudes of people. If they show people in Cuba walking, there's a street full of people that are walking. If you see it in European nations, there's people walking. You go out to the mall here in Jacksonville, you see a lot of people walking. And they're walking unconsciously, knowing where their end is going to be. Probably hadn't had time to think about it. But in this life, we're walking on two paths, either one or the other. We're walking on a wide path, or we're walking on a narrow path. That's the only two ways that you can walk. So these people are not even conscious of that. The wide way, the broad gate, it leads them to destruction. And the narrow way will lead them to eternal life. But they're not conscious of that. They're just walking around happy-go-lucky and being free, joking, a lot going on. But you know, Jesus has something to say about that in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. He said, "Enter you in at the narrow gate, for broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads into destruction, and many will enter in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there will be that find it." Society is fond of dividing people into twos. We have the have-nots and the haves. We have the rich, we have the poor. We have the educated, we have the uneducated. We have the workers, and we have the slackers. And many people have both, and some people have none. The educated have not much wisdom. I remember one time I was working with this architect. He always, if we were putting together a plan to work, and I was his assistant because he was the architect. All I was just, "Hey, man, just give me something to type up and I'll do it for you." But he always wanted to go one step further. That's what architects are. They get their design out, they want to go with one more step. And then he told me one day, because of his education, we got to talking. He told me, he said, "Have you ever talked to a guy that does actuary work?" And I said, "No. What about it?" And he says, "You know, you ask him what time it is, he wants to build you a clock. He won't even tell you, you know, before he gets around telling what time it is, he wants to build that clock." And he said he could tell you what the probability of a spacecraft leaving Cape Canaveral flying over Jacksonville with one of the boosters dropping off and hitting in your backyard and not touching anything but dirt. He can tell you the probability of that on statistics. But you ask him what time it is, he's stumbling, you know. He has to build you a watch before. But they don't have much wisdom. They have a lot of knowledge and they have a lot of training, but they don't have much wisdom. The world is divided into the saved and the unsaved. We're either one or the other. those who are walking the narrow path and those who are walking the wide path. In other words, either you're walking with God or you're walking with Satan. And that leads me up to point number one. There are only two ways. Jesus, however, divides the world in that manner. People are traveling either the broad way or the narrow way. The one that leads to destruction, the one that leads to eternal life. That was pretty evident what he said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14 that we just covered. But in Matthew 7 and verse 24 to verse 6, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. The rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds beat upon that house, and the house did not fall. And the ones that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him into a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. The rains came, the floods came, the winds beat upon the house, and the house fell. And great was the fall of it. So I guess the question this morning is our house built on a rock foundation or is it on the sand? And you might ask, how can I tell which foundation I have my house built on? Well, let me tell you, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, who does men say that I am? And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some say you're Elias, or one of the prophets. Then he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And blessed are you, Peter, Jesus said. Man didn't reveal that to you. That was revealed to you by God. And upon this rock, I will build my church. So the rock that Christ built his church on is the rock that we build our foundation on to build our house. In other words, if you are not in the house where they're teaching the truth, and the truth will set you free, as John 3 8:32, then your house is built on the sand. And the winds will come and the rains will come and it's going to bust your house open. And there you'll be without a good foundation and out of home. Jesus on another occasion spoke how at the judgment he would separate people into two groups. He says, and before him will be gathered all nations, and he will separate them as the shepherd will separate a sheep from his goats. He will put the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left hand. And those on the right hand will go off into eternal life, but those on the left hand, the goats, will go off into eternal damnation in a lake of fire that was built for Satan and his angels. The sheep on his right hand will inherit the kingdom of God. And we pray that we are one of the sheep. No one else will be remaining after those two groups have departed. And they shall go away everlasting punishment, the goats. But the righteous on the right will have life eternal. When Jesus speaks of two paths, the two builders and the sheep from the goats, he has not excluded any human being. We are walking one pathway, and the question is, which one? We'll build our house either on the rock or the sand. The question is, which one? We will be with the goats or we'll be with the sheep. The question is, which one? In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, Jesus said to John, John looked and he said, I saw a multitude that no man can number. And you, when he's talking about no man can number, if you can use your imagination here this morning, just think back when Adam was created in that day and time, from that time up until this time, to, plus the time is yet left to, for us to, in this life, to extend to. No man can number that number of people that's going to stand at judgment that day. 2 Timothy 2:8 says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All, meaning everybody, must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of things that are in this body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. No one will be excluded. Which leads us to point number two. The broad way. When Jesus divided the world in two, he numbered those on the broad way as many, and those on the narrow road as few. Jesus, when he states that many will be on the broad way, does not indicate in any way that that number could or would be changed. And that is also the case with those that are on the path of the narrow way, that are the few. When talking about entering the narrow way, and most people would say they could do that. No problem. I can handle that. True story, we were setting up a signal operation out here off of Interstate 10 between Live Oak and Lake City, way back down in the Pine Woods there. And we had one in Lake City and we had one there in Live Oak. And the one over in Live Oak needed some fuel. So the commander got this young man, he's smart enough that he passed the test to get into the military. He said, I want you to take the fuel truck and go over to site so-and-so. And the guy said, well, where are they? He said, well, go up here on Interstate 10 and that'll take you over there to where they are. Anybody here knows anything about Interstate 10? It runs east and west. It runs from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean. And this poor kid, He got that truck with all good intentions. And he got down there and he turned west. And he kept driving, he kept driving, he kept driving. Finally, the commander hadn't heard from him. He got on the radio, said, what is your location, son? He said, I'm coming right into the city of Lake City. He said, boy, you done turned the wrong way. You said go on Interstate 10. Yeah, son, but when you got up there in Interstate 10, it said east and west. Did you not notice which way you went? But anyway, when you think that you got it, oh, that's simple. I'm smart enough. The narrow way, I can walk that way. Well, folks, let me tell you something. I mentioned this Wednesday night in the closing that way is so narrow. If you're not careful where you're walking, you can slip right off that thing, and the next thing you know, you're walking the wide way. And it takes some doing to get back on the narrow way. So don't say, I can do that, unless you are committed to do that. And you can't do that without staying in the Word of God. One might ask why Jesus says, choose a narrow way and say that very few will do it. The word narrow translated means difficult. Human nature is to take the easiest way, the least of resistance, to go from here to there. I don't think that's totally true. I think that if people looks at a way that's going to be rewarding for him, that he'll do that. I think if the challenge is great, they will accept the challenge if the reward is good enough for them to do that. I'll guarantee you this morning, at 85 years old, if I knew for certain that between here and St. Augustine Beach, there was a satchel of money down there that was washed up on shore, and nobody's got it, this old boy will be walking the beaches from here to St. Augustine, even though I might not find us down there, but if it's legitimate, the challenge would be just right for me to go down there and see if I can cash in on my luck. But of course, things like that don't happen. People will do all kinds of things that are difficult. Some enjoy a great challenge, especially, as I was saying, the reward was great enough. The Christian life is worthy of a challenge. And the reward being an eternal home in heaven, you would expect more people to do that, knowing what the reward is. Can you visualize the day that you can be in heaven and you be walking the streets that the Apostle Paul will be walking, that Peter will be walking, that Abraham and Isaac will be walking? Can you imagine how you would feel if you could come face to face with just one Bible character that we've been studying over the years, and then have the opportunity to look our Savior in the face, sit at his feet, and walk the streets with him? Not even to mention to get to see the face of God that created us in his image. Now, if that's not a challenge worthy of acceptance, then there's nothing left for you. The price has already been paid. I've got a mansion up there somewhere, and it's paid and fully furnished. And I'm looking forward to the day that I can go in there and rest from all my labors in this life. Which brings us down to point number 3, and the theme of our lesson this morning is the straight and narrow way. Jesus made us a pathway to heaven, and he describes it as narrow. He describes it as straight. But this is the only pathway he provides for us. He is not involved with the wide way or the broad way or the wide gate. That way was paved by Satan himself. Jesus had nothing to do with that way. The only way he has for us is a straight and narrow. He never did anything to cause anyone to get on the pathway to destruction. That was none of his doing. When Jesus says, enter in at the narrow gate, he is referring to living a Christian life. I think we still remember the day that we were baptized, that we came out of that water, we were committed to live the life of a Christian. We were consumed by Christ. We put Christ on. And he walks with us daily. He leads us away from temptation. He gives us the strength to resist. Jesus, in mentioning the narrow gate, he stated, few will find it. How do you compare few to many? You take 100 marbles and put on this side and one marble on this side, that's probably a few against many. Or 1 million against 100. You name it. Don't know what the number of the few is going to be. Don't know what the number of the many is going to be. But we know this. He don't lie. He is the truth. And God is the truth. And if he says there's going to be few, it's going to be few. Abraham, how many that number is? I don't want to be in the many. I've had enough of that. There's usually two ways to find something. Either you stumble on it by accident, and it has some value to it, and it's your good fortune that you found it. That don't happen too often. But the best way to find something is to seek it. Seek diligently with a concentrated effort. And Jesus said on one occasion, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. I guess the question today is for us is, what path are we walking? There's only two. We can only walk the narrow or we can walk the broad. There's no third way. And that's the question that you have to ask yourself and come to a conclusion that either you're right or you're wrong. If you're here this morning, if you don't know if you're walking the narrow way or the broad way, you can always come forth and you can discuss your situation with one of the elders here today, and we'll be glad to discuss that with you. But here's one way you can tell for sure that you're going to be on the narrow way, and that's Paul's six steps to grace. So listen carefully to what the Apostle Paul is saying. He first says, you got to hear the word of God. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God in Romans 10:17. After hearing that word, you got to believe it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul says. It is the power of God and salvation to those who believe, to the Jew first, to the Greek also. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. After believing, you got to have a repentant heart. You got to repent of your sins. You got to change your way of living in order to get on that straight and narrow way. What shall we say then, says Paul? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid, he says in Romans 6:1. God's grace is good and it's strong. But you don't take the advantage of grace by continuing sin just so it'll abound in your life. It won't happen. You must repent of your sins. Then comes the part you have to confess Jesus Christ. And Paul says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:10. Then having done that, then you must be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, know ye not, so many of us that was baptized into Christ was baptized into his death, so that as Christ was resurrected from the dead by the power of the Father, so shall we be raised to walk in a newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. And then it begins. Once you've got your life cleansed and ready to go, your Christian life begins. You have to stay faithful unto death to inherit life eternal. Because Paul says in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind. And the way you renew your mind is through the study of God's word. I hope that this lesson has encouraged you in some way or put some light on some things for you, because it was intended to do that. And if you have any need, whether it be to repent of sins in your life, or if you have any special request for prayer or something, please come forth as we stand and we sing our hymn of invitation.